time once again for Community Forum, and we're very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Kathy Barker and Mike Dietrich. Kathy Barker is a board member of Garfield High School's PTSA as a military recruiting monitor and on the board of Washington Truth in Recruiting. And Mike Dietrich is a Vietnam veteran, a member of Veterans for Peace, Chapter 92, located here in Seattle, and also a board member of Washington Truth in Recruiting. And they're both in the studios this morning to talk to us about counter-recruiting. Kathy and Mike, thank you very much for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Hello.
Thank you.
So start out and tell us a bit about Washington Truth in Recruiting.
Washington Truth in Recruiting has been around for about, 6 years now,
yeah.
Kathy? And Washington Truth and Recruiting is a organization that is taking sort of an institutional approach to counter recruiting, and we'll get into what counter recruiting is in a bit. But by an institutional approach, I mean talking to parents, as in PTAs, supervisors, school districts, counselors, that sort of thing. And it includes tabling at state conventions for these groups and bringing the attention to these groups of what the problem is in their schools. Many of these people are actually quite unaware of what the level of recruiter involvement in the schools and what's happening there. And it's kind of a top-down approach, but also a necessary one in addition to the bottom-up approach. We provide information via our website. We have educational materials in the form of pamphlets and issues that we hand out at these conferences. I don't know. What else, Kathy?
Well, that about covers it. We do a little bit of everything, I think, because counter-recruiting is so amazingly pervasive. It's pervasive. It's insidious. It's absolutely everywhere. So I think we're always, in a way, putting a finger in a dike, trying to stop it wherever it springs up again. But overall, I think that our approach is to try to work with the influencers, the people who are allow the people who allow recruiters to be in the school all the time. We're working on those people to try to see what's wrong with having recruiters in the school.
Okay, and we're specifically talking about military recruiters.
We're talking specifically about military recruiters, and a lot of this goes back to No Child Left Behind in 2001, because at that time, there's a section in there that says military recruiters have to be given access to students in school. And they have to be given students' home contact information, or the school could risk losing federal aid. So that meant all of a sudden, although some schools already allowed recruiters in, some didn't allow them in, now it meant that everybody had to do that, had to allow military recruiters into school. And so there is one little out in there in No Child Left Behind in that students and parents have the right to opt out, to say, I don't want my name going to a military recruiter. And that was one of the things I think that got Washington Truth in Recruiting going. They gave us an in, something where we can go and say, yes, you have the military recruiters in there, but you can also not have them. People can choose not to have their names sent to the military. Military, once they have those names, would call kids at home over and over and over again, send information, show up at people's houses. So that's that was one of the main things that Washington Truth in Recruiting did, started out, is letting people know they had the right to opt out of contact with the military.
The No Child Left Behind Act that Kathy just referred to, which actually became a federal law and mandates recruiting presence in school, basically, kind of ironically gave a little boost to this so-called counter-recruiting effort, because a lot of people, while they didn't like the fact that their recruiters were in schools, but they did not know that part of the law actually said mandated their recruiter presence in schools, but they also didn't know that, in fact, most school districts, before this became a federal requirement, were actually handing out wholesale, without any sort of precondition, this information, private student information, to the Department of Defense and Recruiting Command. So it actually, people said, wow, that's happening. Maybe how can I get involved with this sort of thing? In the Seattle School District, anyway, we've been fairly successful in dealing with this. And sort of to back up a little bit, what is counter-recruiting? And the problem is that the values and ideals and the purpose of the military is very cross purposes with what educational systems are. Basically, the military is an institution that trains people to kill people and blow things up. And you, I could get a infantry lieutenant colonel come in here, and he'd say the same thing, including most of the people who are in Iraq and Afghanistan. They require basically almost unquestioning obedience, follow orders. There is really no sort of individual freedom in the military. You're governed by the United States Uniform Code of Military Justice. And contrast this to what message most schools are trying to you know, teach students, and that is independent thinking, support of the you know, constitutional principles like freedom of choice, that sort of thing, and also that you know, schools teach nonviolence, and that's not what the military is about. The military is essentially a violent, destructive organization. That's the contradiction, the basic contradiction. And then the other problem with counter-recruiting and the issue of counter-recruiting is what the recruiters tell kids and what actually the reality is. And that has to do with a bunch of things that the recruiters use to recruit people, and that's the delayed entry program, ASVAB, and ROTC, and we can cover these things in turn. Why don't you go ahead and...
Well, as Crystal said, so one of the things we do physically is that we won in Seattle because of changes in policy in 2005 and 2007. Changes, by the way, that were a great collaboration between youth groups and parent groups. We have policy that allows somebody from a peace group to sit next to a military recruiter when they come into the school. So we've got laws on controlling access, the number of times they can come in, and we can sit next to them. And if the military recruiter isn't giving this information to students about what happens to them, what the realities of the military, we sit there beside them and give that information to the students. So that's been really powerful because the students are still fairly unaware of anything to do with the military, about that there's wars going on, what it means when you go into the military, what happens to people in the land where you are invading. So we tell them about things like, for one, Mike mentioned ASVAB. ASVAB is a career exploration test. It's given by many schools in the country as a way of finding where that student may have for career interests. But it's actually the military placement test. It stands for the Armed Forces Vocational Aptitude Battery, something that's in very, very tiny, tiny print on the website. So students come and they take this test to find out where they're placed, and their names are going to the military automatically. Nobody knows this. There is a choice the school has to keep that name private, but they generally don't let parents know or students know they have that choice. So this is a great source of leads. Kids come and take this great test administered by the Department of Defense in the schools. About 90% of the kids are not given a choice, and their information goes directly to the military. And so we can let people know about that when we're in a school, that if you don't want the military contacting you, make sure you work on getting your choice to not have your name sent to the military. Take the test if you want. Don't send your name to the military.
And that's called the Option 8 option on the ASVAB test, which would mean that you don't automatically turn your information, your private information, over to the Department of Defense, the military.
Maryland just passed legislation about that. Maryland became the first state to legislate that you now had to tell parents and students that they have the right not to have their information go to the military. This just happened this spring.
From that particular test.
For that particular test. So there's interest in this all around, but activists now have worked with legislatures in Maryland to say in that particular test, your name cannot go automatically to the military.
Okay. So that's one way they're grabbing information.
One way, yes.
What are the other ways?
Well, the standard way is that kids don't opt out, and one of the provisions of the No Child Left Behind Act is that usually by the first week in October or so, with most school districts, students and or their parents can have the opportunity to opt out of military recruiting contacts, and that is by signing a do not, you know, contact form, usually a written form with the school district, and that would prevent their automatic disbursement of their private information to the military. But you have to actually, it's a proactive sort of thing that a student or parent has to do to prevent the automatic collection of that material by the recruiters. And if you don't do it, fill out this form. Your private information as a student will be turned over to the military. And you're talking about private information such as address, phone numbers, email accounts, student ID number, that sort of thing. This is actually fairly detailed private information, which they use for calling students and contacting them to get them into enlistments.
And these opt-out forms, are they sent out to all the parents and or students at the beginning of the year?
Each district has a different policy. Some districts don't. Some will just have on the website saying if you want to opt out, please contact your principal or Board of Education. In Seattle, we do send a form home with the take-home packets. But it's still confusing. It's still really confusing. We've seen since we started doing this kind of work, encouraging students to opt out, we've seen a steady rise in parents and students choosing to opt out. But it's still obscure to people. You get a take-home packet of something like 20, 30 pieces of paper, including your right to opt out. It's really not clear. So it's really, really important that activists, parents, everybody notify people of the right, because almost everybody chooses to opt out when they know they have the right to do so. It's just a matter of letting them know.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, for a freshman, you're talking about a 14-year-old kid who's got a lot of other things he's interested in, and probably the last thing he's interested in doing is taking this huge stack of papers home for his parents to look at, or for him or her to look at. It's just they're kids, and they don't really have any idea of how serious this is, not only just how serious joining the military is, but also of what basic rights, what few rights they do have as children, really. And the military uses this way to contact students, and also the ASVAB test. A lot of the things they do is sort of by what they don't say, which is one of the reasons that you have counter-recruiting. In the ASVAB, they don't tell students or parents that they have option 8 to opt out. A lot of kids, because of the way the bureaucracies operate in most schools, they sort of downplay this opt out, and so it's very that option to opt out is often inefficiently and incompletely transmitted to the students. And another thing that they use to actually recruit is actually under the delayed entry program or so-called future soldiers training program, and under that program, students who are usually in their last year of high school, which they can sign up for this program with their parents' permission, but that basically allows the recruiters to do a year's worth of sort of pre-indoctrination, and we'll get them when they do graduate, if they do graduate, they will enlist in the military, but it gives them a year's worth of sort of time to work on them and pre-indoctrinate them. And one of the main features of the program, in addition to the military's pre-indoctrination aspect, is that if you're in this program, you can opt out of that program, as in bailout, anytime you want to without any sort of negative consequences whatsoever. But almost recruiters, including, we were just looking at their recruiting manual, which is available online, they don't really talk about this option, even in their training manuals. And when they're talking to students, they don't tell them that they can opt out of this. And it's a big thing, and it's a thing that's actually quite abused quite frequently. Kids will come to a recruiter and say, I don't want to do this anymore. And the recruiters have been more than one instance of verbally threatening kids about, said, we're going to send federal marshals to arrest you. This is going to go on your federal record. Social Security is going to be affected. Just verbally threatening kids that they have to continue with this DEP program, even though in the last 28 years of the delayed entry program, Future Soldiers Training Program, no one has ever been prosecuted for opting out of this program. So it's a lot of what they don't say. They certainly don't talk about war, militarism, or the options for PTSD after 3 combat tours in Iraq or Afghanistan.
So this is one of our struggles in the school. That's another thing we let students know, which the district has been fairly resistant to. Mike actually for years has pressured the district to let, at least to have announcements, let students know they don't have to go to this program. But it's really pretty underplayed. And so when we go there, we are able to tell students they do not have to stay in this program. They could leave with no penalty at any time. And I really do feel as if that's something the district should be doing, making more of an effort to do, is to let students know they do not have to go into the military when they get out of high school if they choose not to. It's amazing. It sounds like that's, I think a lot of the students in Seattle are fairly savvy and they would know that. But we have an awful lot of students who perhaps don't speak English well, who are really pretty shocked when the military, when a recruiter is pressuring them to join the military. They don't know their rights. They don't know they can just say no. And so it's, you know, the fact that the school lets the military in without question is one bad thing, but the fact that they, and all over the country it's even worse, the fact that they're so resistant to letting people know what the truth is really disturbing.
And we're talking specifically about high schools, is that correct?
Right. Yes.
So, and which in my lifetime, they actually, it used to be high school was grades 9 through 12, and now it's grades 8 through 12. Is that right?
No, 9 through 12 is still, it? Generally, yeah.
No, my, yeah, 10 through 12 now.
Yeah,
it's 9
through 12. Now it's okay. More than 9 through 12.
Brain dead.
All right. These are all minor children, of course.
Right.
But also the recruiting is not confined just to high schools. They are present in junior highs, and they're talking about presence as in school assemblies, off campus contact to these kids, being present at sort of, you know, school functions. It's a priority for recruiters to not only, of course, be in high schools but also junior highs. They're there whenever they can.
And as that's go into that a little bit more. So, and what are they doing when they're there? You talked about that they're in classrooms. They're being invited into classrooms and or what, assemblies?
Everything. For example, we also have a thing called the Starbase program. There are a few of those across the country. We have one in Washington where the military takes the kids to the base. Is that Air Force? That's Air Force. They take them to do science classes. And, you know, and they admit that that's a nice introduction to the military. To do science classes for middle school students. But they are so pervasive. I think that's one reason I like the opt-out of No Child Left Behind so well. It's the first time people go kind of open their eyes and say, what, the military's in the high school? Because they do come in for everything. They teach. Sometimes they're connected to the counselor, and they're actually the person that does the selective service sign up, you know, because boys still have to register for selective service at 18. We found at Garfield that our recruiter was the football coach, a volunteer football coach, you know, which is something the recruiting manual tells them to do. A lot of parents are shocked when they find that the Army is sponsoring football games and football league tournaments, things like that. You'll see a big Army banner. I remember a parent near Tacoma was surprised to find that the Army was advertising on the public access television they had in the schools. It is so deep, and we've become so used to it, you don't even notice it. They're there for everything.
In some of the Kitsap high schools, for example, the Navy, which has a major presence on the Kitsap Peninsula, they're uniformed sailors in their classrooms, and they're just sort of wandering around. They're not doing any sort of teaching or anything like that because they're not really authorized to do it. But some of those classrooms have Navy personnel there, ostensibly as tutors. They're not trained as tutors, but having the presence in the schools whenever they have the opportunity. And, you know, this doesn't sound, I mean, this might come off to some of the listeners, probably not too many, as sort of anti-military rant, but it's not. I mean, what we're saying is that the military is what it is, and these kids, these minor children, don't know that. They think it's some sort of a board game or a fun and game where they're going to get some education out of it. And the GI Bill, the new GI Bill, is a vastly different sort of thing. But to get any sort of benefits out of the military, you're going to have to spend six years active duty. These days, you're going to have to spend two or three combat tours to get any educational benefits. You're going to end up with in addition to any sort of physical injuries that you might have, including concussions from TBI, but you're going to have PTSD. You will have PTSD, and I've got some experience with that as a combat Vietnam veteran. It's interesting because all of these new and younger veterans are spending two or three or four combat tours, and they're actually having quite a bit more combat exposure than the average Vietnam veteran. So their liability as far as physical injuries and psychological problems is actually going to be quite a bit more.
Talk about briefly the different other modes of that the military uses for getting the word out. I mean, you said, you know, that being in the military is not a game, yet in a way it is. They created a game that was very popular that, you know, and that's not the only one, but where kids can go out and you can shoot the enemy and boy, if you can do well on that, why not do the real thing?
Well, that's one thing they use. Those take those games. If you go to a job fair in this area, anywhere across the country, you'll probably see an army tent set up where kids can go in and play an army game. And when you, in order to go in, you've got to sign and give your contact information to the military to go play the game. The games themselves have been really useful. Some of our local recruiting stations have a game night. They'll invite kids in to play games and talk to them. There was an Army experience station in Philadelphia, which was all games. They closed several recruiting stations and combined them into one giant recruiting station in a mall in Philadelphia called the Army Experience Center, which was almost all video games. And they got a lot of people in, but they had to close it down because activists were protesting so often. But the game certainly is a good way to draw people in. They've been climbing walls. One of the common things is that they have these great big vans filled with things. You could see these big army vans, recruiting vans that come around. They'll bring a climbing wall very commonly, as they were doing at Seattle Parks and Recreation, to schools. They'll always have one. Again, they require you to sign, give permission, but then they have your contact information for that. So they can contact you further on. So
Seattle Parks and Recreation has been involved with this?
Yeah, Timothy Gallagher said that they would stop asking the military to come, and they would post when the military was coming, because they were being invited to youth events, kids going for spring break or something, junior high kids. The Army would be there with a recruiting wall. He's gone now, and we hope the policy of at least not letting people know if the military will be there. Sounds like a very small thing, but it's hard to win all these small steps because of the acceptance of the military overall. But they bring helicopters to some schools. That hasn't been allowed in Seattle because of efforts of Mike and some of our great career specialists. But they've tried to bring Black Hawk helicopters, which are great recruiting devices. Everybody wants to come on and work the controls and everything.
And Kathy mentioned career specialists or career counselors. That's been one of the problems with the Seattle School District, because they're down to about half the career specialists that there were of 3 or 4 years ago. And the career specialists are the ones that are traditionally ones who actually advise students on career opportunities, college, any other career opportunities. And also in the Seattle School District, they have been the ones that were sort of tasked with monitoring recruiter presence on high school campuses. With those people gone, recruiters now show up whenever they want to. There's not as much monitoring of them. Principals often don't know when recruiters are coming.
And it's all military recruiters, which I noticed at Garfield. Yeah. Instead of having a whole selection, it used to be a couple of years ago, we had maybe at Garfield, we had 100 college recruiters coming in the military. Well, the last couple of years with no career specialists, there's been no college recruiters. So the only recruiters you have in a school are military recruiters. The only people in there telling kids what to do are military recruiters in some of the schools.
So as the economy gets worse and the cutbacks to public education continue, then this seems to be a program that keeps it.
It's been well-funded. A real boost to recruiting.
Yeah. They're actually, in the last couple of years here with the economy, the recruiting deficiencies in manpower they are recruiting
they're meeting their numbers.
Yeah. They don't have any shortfalls at all. And they're actually, where a couple of years ago they were cutting the qualifications for recruits, they're actually back up because there's so many kids trying to get into the military, they can actually do a little bit more picking and choosing. So, but the quotas are being filled, thanks to the economy and also sort of the public apathy and the public sort of perception that the military is a way to get ahead.
So it sounds like you've had some successes that have taken quite a while here in Seattle. What does the rest of the state look like? What does the rest of the country look like?
Well, it varies district by district, but it's pretty grim in some places. It's really pretty grim. If you go out to parts of eastern Washington, the military presence is much, much heavier in the schools. We really are pretty lucky in Seattle. So it really depends. Where you have activists, you have rules on access, at least limiting the military to the to what's required by No Child Left Behind, rather than giving them free access to the schools. You can have these towns side by side, one town that really regulates, one town that doesn't. Really, really depends across the country. But we are probably, for all these problems that we're mentioning, probably Seattle is one of the best schools, best as far as having actual rules for military recruiters.
And actually, we've heard that from military recruiters. I had it recently as last summer or end of school year from a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps. Says he was complaining about how tough a scene it is to work in Seattle in recruiting because of the attitude. And also to actually give the district some credit, they've actually implemented some things that they've sort of been forced to because of pressure to get on the bandwagon trying to inform students of their rights and the facts about joining the military. So it has had its impact. But I mean, if you just have to look at the casualty lists from Iraq and Afghanistan and look at the towns that these people come from. They're not Chicago, L.A., Seattle, San Francisco. They're little Prosser, you know, Twisp, Hump Tulips, Forks in this state or the smaller towns that I don't even recognize across the United States. They're going after the rural population, which is, as a lot of people know, a very, rural poverty is a real problem in this country.
And I don't think we've been helped by Obama getting in. Because just like the rest of the country has been, I believe, sort of blind to the wars that are going on, it's considered quite tacky to talk about war. I think that's happened with recruiting. People were really happy to join in anti-recruiting efforts when Bush was there. They were seen as Bush's wars, and nobody wanted to fight Bush's wars. And that's kind of dissipated. There's not a big discussion about why we have these wars. And that's been pretty sad.
Yeah, there's absolutely no discussion about war, militarism, or the military in the schools, to say nothing of the general society. I mean, I can't think of any sort of forum where this is talked about at all, really, the war, what we're doing, what foreign policy is. You know, it's just not talked about at all. So it's hard to expect these kids to be talking about their kids, you know. One of the other things I wanted to mention quickly is JROTC, which is a program that operates through the high schools, in the high schools. And the program is basically designed, or theoretically designed, to have people in this military program called Junior Officer Reserve Training Program in preparation for theoretically going on to college and in a formal ROTC program. The statistics, though, for the JROTC is mostly it's a recruiting device to get people to go into the military. Most of the people in JROTC do not go to college, do not go to ROTC, much less graduate from college. Most of them go into the military. It's actually a funded program by the Department of Defense, which actually is after a year or so, 1 year in the districts. The district has to pay for part of the funding themselves at the expense of other high school programs. You're talking about athletics, math, language. They have to pay out of the school-based district budget to support the ROTC program. It's partially funded by districts. That's the way.
And the teachers aren't certified for the most cases. They don't have to follow the same qualifications. They're in there teaching history, military history, as well as gym classes, but they don't have to have any teacher training, no college necessarily. And in order to teach these classes,
there are no JROTC units in Seattle. There are, I think, most schools in Tacoma have JROTCs. There's one in Sammamish. Everett has one. There's I think one or two in Kitsap.
We are talking with Mike Dietrich and Kathy Barker, who are both board members of Washington Truth in Recruiting. And how do people find out more about your organization and these issues?
You can go to the website, www.watir.org, Washington Watir, Truth and Recruiting. That is the main way. You can look for, many of the high schools in Seattle have a contact that you could skip through the principal or the counseling office to find out who the person is, parent or activist, who is the peace activist at the high school. Probably through Vets for Peace. A lot of the Veterans for Peace help us out at the schools a lot.
VFP 92, you can just Google that, and there's information on counter-recruiting and also my contact information there. I'm also nominally the Truth in Recruiting Action Team for Veterans for Peace Chapter 92.
Well, with that, we're unfortunately out of time. Thank you both for coming and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you.